welcome to Witchy Woman Podcast. I am your host, Danae Sweet, and this is episode 21. Today, I have a whole episode revolving around Letha and this time of the year, some other celebrations, correspondences. It's just going to be a lot of fun. I love this time of year, and this celebration is, it's a lot of fun. But first, I kind of want to go over what's going on in my little bubble. So, some of you know, because I posted on Instagram, that I found some kittens at my dad's ranch that had been abandoned. Their mama had dried up her milk early for some reason, and I found them, and one of them, I found three. One of them was deceased, and then two other ones I thought were until I picked them up, and they actually, like, made this terrible ghostly mew. So I warmed them up, and we got them home, and I was really not optimistic about their outcome through the first night, but they made it through the first night. And the second day, they're pooping and pottying, and today they're actually, like, trying to be kittens. They're, like, playing and getting aggro over who gets the food and who doesn't. So I'm really, really excited because I feel like they're starting to thrive instead of just trying to, like, recover and recuperate. So that's that. I've been posting a lot of the pictures and videos and things like that on Instagram. So if you want to go check that out, it's at Witchy Woman Podcast on Instagram. I am so excited because, as you know, I moved from the ranch up here to town, and I've had my horses at the ranch this entire time. So I've been without them since June 1st. I mean, I've went and I've taken care of them and saw them and everything, but I haven't really gotten to do horse stuff, and I don't have them with me, and that really, really bothers me. And today I got to go down and get them and bring them to the pasture that's close to our house, and oh my god, I was so excited to get them all in the trailer and bring them up here and know that they're just a couple blocks from me. Like, just, it made me feel like the move is more complete now. So they're happy. I'll post some pictures of them too. We turned them out and they're, like, running all over their pasture and having a good time. And so I left them for a little bit, and then my husband and I went back out and we checked on them, and oh my gosh, they're just, they look happy. They don't look scared or disoriented. They're like, hey, cool, I'm in a new pasture. They didn't really want me to catch them too badly when I went out there, so I know they're happy, because usually they're like, hey, let's go do something. So they're really preoccupied with hanging out with each other in their new space. So I'm going to give them a little bit to acclimate, a couple days, and then I'll probably start riding. And oh my gosh, I miss riding. That's my sanity time. Like, when I want to decompress and go do something that relieves my stress, for me, that's writing. So this should help my overall well-being having them here. So I just wanted to share that. That makes my heart so, so happy to have them close to me. On a side note, I have stopped and started this podcast. It's only 3 minutes and 20 seconds into it, and I have stopped and started like a dozen times because my little Chihuahua Pablo cannot do anything without me. So he's always here with me when I record podcasts, and for some reason the little stinker won't stop. Like, I'm gonna lick my toes, and not mine, his toes. He's gonna lick his toes, and he's gonna clean himself and make all kinds of disgusting noises that this microphone is picking up. So I just wanted to express my frustration at this point, because I'm trying to do like a really good podcast, and instead I keep stopping and starting and losing my train of thought because my dog is licking his little tiny Chihuahua balls. So I just wanted to share my frustration at this point. Okay, so enough about that. I wanted to share also that I think I shared that I had to close my retail store because of my health. I have lupus, and the last like 3 or 4 months I've really struggled with it. I started out doing really great, and as the stress went up, having my business and driving there every day and not getting much sleep, and it really became an issue. So anyway, I digress. So closing it has actually felt like a relief. I'm almost done with my website so that I can get the inventory that I have left online. I'll keep doing my products, but anyway, my new office, I love it. I saw clients last week for the first time, had some beautiful mediumship readings. I was worried that this was the wrong path for me. And I'm sure everybody does this. Like, you change, you do a course correct, and it's scary because oh my God, I was going to do this thing and now I have to do something else, that scared the crap out of me. And I came to some realizations this week. And I wanted to share them because I thought, you know what? If I can say them out loud to everybody on my podcast, if everybody can listen to this, and this is something I want to say that's actually kind of, it makes me feel very vulnerable and it's hard for me to admit. But I think I learned some things. Number one, one of the reasons I did not want to close my shop, one of the strongest reasons I realize now, was out of ego. Pure ego. I did not want to have the people that didn't want me there. The people that said I would fail anyway. The people that were fighting against me having my shop. I did not want them to quote unquote win. That was so much of the reason I didn't want to quit. And I didn't realize this until afterwards. I was kind of reassessing what happened, and I'm an analyzer. Gosh, I can't not analyze everything I do. So I was not sleeping during this nice full moon, laying in bed, analyzing my actions in the past couple weeks and month or whatever. And it's ego. I didn't want them to win. I didn't want them to go, ha ha, we did it. And then I realized I don't care. that ego part of me will always care. But the other part of me is like, that's not what's serving my highest good. It's not what's serving everyone else's highest good that I'm trying to serve. Because how am I supposed to help people? How am I supposed to do what I do as far as mediumship readings and Reiki and the other stuff I do? How am I supposed to pour 100% of myself into that if the stress from retail and trying to move all of it and being there during retail hours was stressing me out and making me sick? How can I have served them the best that I could? I couldn't. So I realized that while the human side of me, my stupid ego and that monkey mind is like, ah, damn it, you know, I wish that I could keep going because I don't want them to win. But that's not it at all. It isn't it at all. And I realized that maybe one of my biggest lessons this year has to do with my ego. It has to do with my choices, how I conduct myself around things that others may perceive as failure for me. I learned a lot about myself and how I perceive what I do as failure or not. So anyway, I wanted to share that. It's very hard for me to say that my ego was such a big factor in it, but it really was. Another thing that I learned, like the number one reason I did not want to close my shop, and I kind of knew this, but I guess sitting with it and analyzing it and journaling about it, I did not want to disappoint other people. I hate disappointing people. I'm a people pleaser by nature. It's one of the things that makes me a good healer, is because I intuitively know what people need. But it also is something that I can turn toxic in myself. I can over people please and hurt myself energetically by pouring so much of myself into something just to make other people happy. And so that, I think, is a big, it seems to be a theme for me this year, is ego and people pleasing. So now that I know that those two things are prevalent within my personality, I mean, I kind of knew already, it's just I'm facing it and saying, yep, I can be an egotistical asshole. I'm a Gemini. I'm not going to blame that on being a Gemini, but I think being a Gemini, I have Scorpio rising, those things have a play into my personality quite a bit. So if you're, you know, ever curious about your personality, if it matches up, gosh, look that stuff up. I think Astrology Cafe has a really good website. So go to astrologycafe.com. If you know you need to know your birthday, your birth time, and where you were born. And it'll go ahead and do your entire birth chart. And it's so freaking cool. Your entire natal chart will be there. You can print it out. You can keep it. You can study it. It's very detailed and crazy deep. I haven't even gotten I haven't scratched the surface of that thing, but anyway, it's a common trait for people with some of the things in my birth chart. So I'm dealing with that. I realize it's a lesson I need to learn. So I don't have to repeat that shit ever again. So I'm going to try really hard not to repeat these things. Let's get into Letha. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to pull some planetary stuff. Actually, in my notes, it literally says Letha 2019 planetary shit. I'm very professional. So anyway, so right now at this time in the wheel of the year, Saturn is still in retrograde and it makes a conjunction with Pluto. So what that does, it creates a situation or the energy to amplify karma at the moment. So right now, karma is a huge theme. Jupiter and Pluto are in retrograde at the moment as well. So Neptune joins them on June 21st, or right on summer solstice or Letha. Neptune in retrograde around this time will create some serious strippers. It's going to create some strippers. No. God, where is my mind going? Anyway, some serious stripping away of false narratives, delusions, and a lot of truth will be revealed in things. So just be aware that some of these truths may sting a bit. It's a time of reflection, turning inward. Sometimes during this time, there's a lot of things that are going to come to light and they're not going to be pretty. So you're going to need to take some time, relax, look within, and deal with some of the shit that's going to happen. Neptune rules hidden enemies. So be careful of people or things happening unexpectedly. Acknowledge where the hurt comes from those reactions from these people or things, and don't hide from it. It's a real easy to hide or become kind of a hermit when some of this stuff happens, especially during this particularly fun planetary mix. So just be aware. If you start to withdraw too much, kind of check yourself. Right now, during this Neptune retrograde, it can make us want to wallow in the shit that is our world situation at the moment. So if you're feeling like humanity is lost and there's no hope and we kind of get dramatic about it, Neptune retrograde can make things seem or feel worse than they are. You're really, especially if you're an empath, if you're very sensitive, you could be kind of connected into that mass or group energy of feeling like the world or humanity is lost and feeling that helplessness or overwhelming feelings. So just be aware, like if you all of a sudden are feeling so down in the dumps and pretty much give up on everybody in humanity at the moment, remember that that may not be your own feelings. It could be that you are experiencing basically the collective outrage or the collective wallowing. So be aware of that. The world does need to change, and we need to do our part, right? But you can't cure the whole world by yourself in a day, or a week, or a month. So take a breath. Do your part in your own time, okay? Also remember, there are great things in humanity, right? There are great things that humanity is doing at the moment. So focus on those and what you can realistically do yourself to help humanity. All right, so Mercury's next. Mercury can't help but be in the mix, right? So a couple of days before solstice, Mercury is going to be in opposition to Saturn and then to Pluto. So the Mercury-Saturn energy is going to create frustration and dissonance. So be aware that your stubborn side can definitely react to that and come out in full force. The Mercury-Pluto energy can amplify that need to vocalize your likes and dislikes. This can bring with it confrontation, obviously. So be mindful of your words and the reasons behind them. So just stay calm and meditate a shitload. And remember, this time period is packed with karma. This whole theme is karma. So what you do during this stretch of time can have a huge repercussions later for good and for bad karma. So if during this time you pour yourself into some positivity, kind of staying at those higher vibrations and don't let those petty people pull you down so that you do bad things, good karma can come back to you. Okay, so Letha is... The date range for it is June 20th through the 22nd, but traditionally we celebrate it on the 21st. Other names for Letha are Midsummer, St. John's Day, and of course the summer solstice. There's a whole bunch of them, but those are the ones I wanted to kind of just mention. I wanted to list the correspondences in case you wanted to kind of build your own Letha celebration. You could incorporate these things into it. So I'm going to start with animals. The butterfly, bee, wren, robin, and snake. Colors are gold, red, orange, blue, yellow, and green. So it kind of goes with the fire sun celebration with the red, gold, and the orange. And the blue, yellow, and green, or the blue and green to me, symbolize the earth and the bountiful harvest that it's creating at the time. Deities, Freya, Flora, the Green Man, Oak King, Bast, Bridget. Foods, I love food. All early summer, fruits and vegetables, ale and mead, honey cakes, red wine, strawberries, sun tea. Oh my gosh, that sounds good right now. And herbal teas. Some herbs and plants that you can use to celebrate are mugwort, vervain, chamomile, rose, honeysuckle, lily, oak, lavender, elder, carnation, and St. John's wort, which I will talk a little bit more about later. Some crystals. This is like the herbs and the crystals. That's my favorite. Amber, tiger's eye, jade, and emerald was listed. There are plenty of others. And Letha incense. Sage, cedar, frankincense, lemon, pine, rose, and lavender. And I always say, you don't have to stick with a list. You can use whatever the hell resonates with you. That's the great part of this path, is that if I feel like my citrine is going to, for me, represent the energy of this day, then that's what I'll use. I don't have to use anything that's on a list specifically. I can use whatever the hell I want. So if anything's in your home that you have that you're like, this feels very summery, use it. I just think that's, it makes a celebration more personal. It makes your magic more personal and powerful when your intention is attached to something that you feel connection to. Okay, so Letha is the longest day of the year and the shortest night. It marks the sun and the god's highest peak of power during the year. The god is in full power, and goddess brings the earth's harvest at the peak of production. So all the fruits are ripening, and the veggies are coming into maturity. Grass is tall and green and beautiful. It's the peak of production. The themes of this holiday is growth, abundance, love. I just really, like, when I went out to my pasture today to let those horses out, and my husband and I just stood on the hill and kind of took in the view. And to me, this feels like the peak of production, a peak of abundance. The grass is so green and so tall. The horses look fabulous. Like, they've been consuming all this beautiful grass for the last couple months, and their coats are shiny, and they just look at the peak of their health. The, you know, birds are around, there's deer that was all in that pasture. We saw baby turkeys. It just felt like today, it was like, oh, okay. It hasn't really felt like summer because it's been so rainy here, but today, looking out at all the things that have grown and become mature, the plants and my animals, it felt like summer. So I felt like I connected a little bit with the time of the year, I guess, and I really hadn't yet, so that was kind of nice for me. I want to talk about how Letha began, or the origins of Letha. Okay, so midsummer is a time that is the light versus the dark. So in some traditions, they think of it as the Oak King battling the Holly King. So the Oak King is in charge or rules from winter solstice to summer solstice, and he battles the Holly King, who rules from summer solstice to winter. That makes sense. Oak King is in charge of things at the beginning of June, and by the end of midsummer, he's defeated by the Holly King. So they celebrate it as, you know, a masculine battle of two kings, which is kind of cool and, like, gosh, it makes me think of, like, Viking, you know. So that's one origin of it. Another one is the Romans. They celebrated midsummer to honor Juno, or the goddess of women and childbirth and marriage. And she was the wife of Jupiter. She's also called Juno Luna. Kind of rolls off the tongue nice. Juno Luna. And she's thought to have given the women the privilege of menstruation. So, yay, thanks, Juno Luna. I know who to bitch at next cycle. The month of June was named after her from the Romans, and it's also a time that they honored Vesta. Vesta is a goddess of the fire, hearth, and home. And they made offerings of salted meal for 8 days to honor Vesta in hopes that she would bestow blessings upon their homes. So that was kind of neat, because I hadn't heard that Vesta, I mean, it makes sense. It's a fire celebration, and Vesta is a definite fire goddess. So if you have Vesta powder, it might be cool to incorporate that into your magical workings during this time. Vesta powder is basically like an incendiary. You sprinkle just a tiny, tiny bit of it on your little charcoal incense or into a fire, and it sparks and pops. It's kind of like, it's like your stereotypical, like, witch making a spell, and you take a pinch of it and you splop it in your fire, and poof, it makes a poof and some sparks and stuff. So I'm a pyro. I love fire, so I will definitely be incorporating that into whatever I do on Letha. So according to learningreligions.com, Midsummer or St. John's Eve is often celebrated in Ireland with the lighting of a huge bonfire. And I love this whole thing because the pyro in me wants to do this so bad. So it was a Celtic tradition. So they lit fires and did all this stuff. And also, in these pagan families and European traditions, they set a large wheel on fire and rolled it down a hill into a body of water. How freaking cool would that be? I'm envisioning, like, this huge wagon wheel, like, way bigger than us, like, ridiculously large, and you, like, soak it in some kind of, like, gas or something, light it on fire, and roll it down a hill, and then, like, it'd be so satisfying to see it roll down the hill, and then, go into the water, and kind of, you could see, like, I can almost hear the fire go out, and that sizzle, and all of the smoke happen, and how freaking cool would that be? Anyway, the reason they did this, maybe because when the sun is at its strongest, it's also the day at which it begins to weaken. So it's like kind of symbolizing that sun going out. I mean, obviously it doesn't go out, but it weakens. Another possibility is that water beats sun. So it's like creating a symbolic subordination of the sun wheel to the water. So there's that. I just really thought this was a cool holiday. I think it's fun. I think it's supposed to be happy and vibrant and full of energy. It's just a great day. And some of the ways that you can celebrate this, bonfires. A lot of traditions will do a bonfire on Midsummer's Eve or Letha Eve to celebrate the coming day. Some people create flower crowns. I thought that was really freaking cool. If I was talented enough to create like one of them beautiful weaved flower crowns, I'd love to do that. I may try to grab a bunch of wildflowers and try it. If I do, I'll post my monstrosity so you can see. Another thing was to get together with friends and have a big meal just to celebrate the abundance of the season, followed by a giant bonfire to celebrate fire and the sun and the time of year. Hand fastings are super popular at this time because of the association with Juno. She's the one of the things she is the goddess of marriage. So if you have plans to tie the knot, why not at Letha? How cool would that be? I actually had a hand fasting. So my husband and I got married in my grandma's backyard. It's the most magical. My grandma, I swear to God, like, she's the most Christian, beautiful soul I have ever met. She's very, very Christian. I'm pretty sure she doesn't know what I do or anything about this part of my life. But she is the quintessential grandma. She has like the most beautiful garden. Her backyard is got roses and lilacs, and she's got the best green thumb. Like, she looks at a plant and it just flourishes. So anyway, I digress. I wanted to have it in her backyard because that's the most magical place I could possibly think of. It's special to me. I grew up playing in that backyard, and marrying my soulmate there just felt like it was perfectly right. So anyway, we had a hand fasting in our backyard. It was so awesome. We had this woman marry us, and I had her sage the wedding, you know, wedding party, and all of us during the ceremony, and the looks on the faces of like all of everybody pretty much was priceless. I think I have some of those pictures. I had a friend take pictures that day, and he got some of the reactions while we were saging, and it was just funny. My grandma, on the other hand, she was like, hell yeah, put that sage over me. She did the whole big inhale and kind of wafted it over herself, and it was just so cool to see my grandma, who is First Baptist doom and gloom Christian, like, embrace what I wanted to do, and it felt special for her, so that made it for me even more special. Anyway, I had to share that. Another thing on this day that's very, very powerful is love magic. It's very powerful. Lots of sacral chakra energy on this day. So it is an amazing time to whip up a lusty love spell and take advantage of that energy. So always be ethical with your love spells, please. That was my public service announcement. Okay. So there's another holiday on June 24th that's often kind of overlaps with Letha, and that's a Christian holiday called St. John's Day. The reason I want to talk about this is because it has a very, very tight connection with an herb, St. John's wort, and what we do in the magical community. So St. John's Day is also sometimes called the Feast of St. John, and it's on June 24th. So it's a Roman Catholic thing. I think some Protestant churches also do it, but it's mainly a Roman Catholic thing. So John the Baptist is seen as a major religious figure who led the movement for baptism near the Jordan River. St. John was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and his dad was a priest, and he and Elizabeth were childless. Both were very old, and they prayed for a miracle. And Gabriel the archangel appeared to them and told them that his wife Elizabeth would bear a child. And she did. And they were to name him John. So the story goes, so it was when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John that the Virgin Mary conceived Jesus. So Elizabeth, Mother Mary's cousin, was informed that this beautiful thing was happening, and it caused the child inside Elizabeth's womb to leap for joy. So they say this leap for joy was the first act of prophecy from John the Baptist, basically saying, you know, and basically confirming that Jesus being conceived and being born was going to be something huge. So they celebrate with three masses. First was a vigil, a second dawn mass, and another at midday. Traditional customs for them include gathering the herb of St. John's wort. I think that's cool. So they gather this and they use it for medicinal, religious, and spiritual uses. They make these flowers into wreaths. They're dried and they hung all over the house. And they traditionally, like the Orthodox, will hang these all year until the next St. John's Day. I think that's so cool. Fires are also something that they incorporate into them, and they have a lot of communal bonfires. So let's go back to St. John's wort. St. John's wort is a plant or a shrub and has five yellow petals. And it's got little oval leaves. And it's used in all kinds of things. So there are two stories as to why we call St. John's wort St. John's wort and why they're connected to St. John the Baptist. The first one is that John the Baptist was feeding from this herb only. Like all through his life, that's what he ate. Which to me seems kind of, I don't know. One doesn't only eat one herb. I'm sure he ate plenty of it because it was traditionally used as in a medicinal sense back then. The other theory is that during the Christianization of everything, the getting rid of the pagans and replacing it with Christian festivals and ideas, they took an herb and renamed it St. John's wort. Because pagans were already using this herb in festivals at that time, so they just named it St. John's wort to basically put a Christian stamp on it. So it's whatever you want to believe. It's just a really cool herb. But I wanted to give you the background. So I wanted to tell you more about this herb because I think St. John's wort is a freaking amazing plant. So the actual name of St. John's wort is Hypericum perifortum. Probably didn't say that right. And it derives from Greek, meaning over an apparition. So that kind of points to the belief that the herb was so offensive to evil spirits that just a whiff of it would cause them to go away. One legend about the plant I thought was kind of badass, but it says that if red spots appeared on the leaves of the plant on the anniversary of John the Baptist's beheading, the spots are symbolic of his blood. Whoa, creepy. In medieval times, it was believed that a person placed a piece of St. John's wort under your pillow on St. John's Eve, that St. John would appear in your dreams and bless you and prevent that person from dying in the year to come. So I think that's neat. So even in the Christian beliefs, there's a lot of, to me, that's a lot of superstition. It's a lot of ritual. And to me, that's magic. Putting an herb underneath your pillow is low-key witchcraft, dudes. So there's that. St. John's wort is also used for so many things. So I want to give you a really short list because there's a really long list that I'm not going to bore you with, but there's some great things that St. John's wort is being used for today. It's the treatment of all kinds of things like depression, anxiety, sleep disorders, wounds, okay, menstrual cramping, I did not know that, anxiety, gout, what else? Oh, sciatica, swelling, hemorrhoids, inflammation, itching, the list goes on and on. It's also an anti-diarrheal. What? So look it up. There's so many. There was like a whole page of things that people use St. John wort for. I just think that's neat. The most common application or common use of St. John's wort today is the treatment of depressive disorders. So an herb is being used to treat depression. I just want to read this little tiny sciencey part that I found. It said the analysis of small studies conducted over the past 20 years and several randomized clinical trials, they found that St. John's wort is more effective than a placebo and just as effective as tricyclic antidepressants in the short-term management of mild to moderate depression. That is so cool. A freaking herb. I try very hard in my day-to-day life to treat my aches, my pains. I treat my lupus also herbally. So I go to a naturopath. We do tinctures, diet, that kind of thing. I think it's freaking amazing that they're using herbs to treat depression. Anyway, get off that soapbox there. Some magical uses of St. John's wort. So this is the fun stuff. So ancient Greeks used to put St. John's wort in their homes and altars and on the pictures of gods and goddesses to be protected by fire, demons, and evil magic. How cool is that? That's cool. So they use it like as a protection herb. Other names for St. John's wort are amber, Tipton's weed, chase devil, and sword herb. It's also thought that if you carry St. John's wort, it's said to be protected by thunder. How cool is that? So basically, like, you're protected by a giant thunderbolt. That just, to me, seems cool. Also, by burning St. John's wort on summer solstice, the smoke is said to shield the house against fire and negative fire magic. Dried St. John's wort hung around your house is said to protect you from evil magic, necromancers, and ghosts. Ooh. It's used for healing spells, protection against fire and evil fire magic, protection against psychic attacks, against accidents. I need that. I am an accident-prone person. If anybody is going to fall from something or trip over something, that would be me. It's also used for protection against magical attacks. And I don't know, the site that I found said it's a great helper, but not good enough to use by itself. So don't rely on this to protect you from any kind of energetic attack. It's said to bring good luck. It's great for wishing spells, especially if you use candle magic or any kind of fire magic. Definitely used to honor the sun and any of the fire deities. And definitely used on Midsummer and Letha, summer solstice. Toss it into your bonfire on Letha. That would be a cool use of it. I found something really cool. So in old grimoires and books of shadows, there's some brief mentionings that the most appropriate and good quality St. John's wort is the one that bears black stigmata, or small black dots that appear on the leaves of the flowers of the herb. So according to that if you're going out and picking St. John's wort, if you can find any with small black dots, that's the most powerful and the best. Well, that is all I have on Letha and the celebrations and everything. I hope that you guys found it informational and learned something from it. I definitely did when I was researching it. I had my basic understanding and the things that I normally do, but I learned quite a bit actually researching this subject. I'm definitely going to do some fire stuff. I'm definitely going to throw some St. John's wort into our bonfire or whatever we got going on that day. That's Friday. I hope everybody has a very magical day on Letha. If you have any questions or want to add to the celebration ideas for Letha, please put them in. Go ahead and post in the Witchy Woman friends group. It's becoming a really fun group. We talk, we share things. I like to get feedback about the episodes and answer any questions that you have. I think, I'm crossing my fingers, I'm hoping that my internet actually cooperates with me. I'm going to try to do a live video in the Witchy Woman friends group. I thought it'd be cool to field any questions or anything like that, and I'm going to try to do that on Saturday. So I've got a lot going on. I'm going to be at my office on Friday, and I won't get home till kind of late, and then I want to do my own stuff that night, but I thought it'd be cool maybe to do that. So definitely go to the Witchy Woman friends group and join that, and then I will post the details when I figure out exactly what time I'll be doing that. So I would love to connect with you guys and talk to you and get to know you guys better. And if you have any questions for me, then you can ask them live. Oh, I almost forgot. Oh my gosh. So I have something kind of exciting to share with you guys. So I got an email in my business account the other day, and I almost deleted it because it kind of looked like spam. But I went ahead and read it, and it's not normal for me to click on the link, but I went ahead and clicked on the link. Anyway, it was an email saying that I had made the top 30 witch or witchcraft audio podcasts and radio you must subscribe to and listen to in 2019. That was a really long title, but anyway, I'm so excited. So I clicked on it and I like scrolled down and holy hell, I am at number 17 out of 30. I don't even know. Like I didn't think there were that many people that listened or that, I don't know. It just kind of blew my mind that it was on a list. So anyway, thank you so much for the people that listened to me and that got me on the list. I just, like, I was looking at some of the podcasts that are on that list, and to me, they're like celebrities, like the Hippie Witch and Fat Feminist Witch are two that I listen to pretty regularly. I just think it's so cool to be in the same group at all with those. So congratulations to everybody who made the list. I think it's freaking badass. I can definitely post the link in the show notes that you can all click on it and read about it and see some other cool witchy podcasts, because there's a lot out there. I had no idea there were as many really good ones as there are. I just think it's really cool. So anyway, it's Feedspot. Feedspot is the site that actually nominated or put me on the list. So I'll post that link below. So anyway, thank you guys. Thank you so freaking much for listening to me babble on about weird shit, basically my life and my witchy life. And it's crazy that people actually want to listen to me. It still blows my mind. I had the idea for this podcast and I'm like, oh, that'd be cool if 10 people listened. I was, you know, I had my sights on just being able to have an outlet that I could talk about things, that I could have a creative outlet, learn some things, maybe connect to some people in the witchy community and the pagan community. I thought those were kind of my goals in the beginning. Like, that'd be really cool. But as I grow, it's just kind of overwhelming how many people are actually listening. Last time I checked the stats, it was like a bit over 3,100 downloads so far, which blows my freaking mind. So thank you for everybody for listening, for sharing. If you haven't already, share the podcast wherever you're listening. I know I have a lot of listeners on Spotify, so thank you so very much for that. My podcast is actually hosted on Podbean, so if you would like to leave a comment there, you totally can. If you're on iTunes or any other platform where you can rate and review it, I would really, really appreciate that. That helps the algorithms make my podcast get seen. It's just how things work now. So the more ratings, reviews, and shares, the better. So I appreciate all of them. I thought I would read a couple of the reviews. I just want to say thank you. One of them was by number one Mumsy. She says, 5 stars. Amazing, funny, and interesting. I learned something new each week and can't wait to listen to the new podcast episodes, or to the new episodes. So thank you so much for that. Another one of them, AmyB0126. She says, I love these podcasts. They're entertaining, educational. It's something I look forward to listening to. There are more, but thank you so much for everybody that listens and rates and reviews and shares. And I don't know. I'm just really excited about this opportunity to be able to have a platform to do this. So yay technology, right? All right, so here comes the how to contact me part. you can get me on Instagram at Witchy Woman Podcast. You can also get me on Twitter, Danae_sweet_. Email me, Danae@danaesweet.com. Or you can snail mail, P.O. Box 333, Hyannis, Nebraska, 69350. I always have those in the show notes if you want to ask any questions. I hope you have a magical shit, Letha, and have an amazing rest of your week.